and now Evangelist David Shannon.
This morning we're going to study about the light of the world. As we open up the 8th chapter of John, we see a story that we talked about just a little bit last week. We talked just a few moments about in the Bible class this morning. It's a story that we can review in just a matter of a few sentences because there's not really that much to tell this story, but there's so much depth to the story. And that is, Jesus was there teaching and the scribes and the Pharisees brought up a woman and they said, "We caught her in the act of adultery and the law of Moses says she's to be stoned. Oh, Master Teacher, what do you say?" He begins drawing with his finger in the dirt. Then finally, when they push him to answer, he finally says, "Those of you that are innocent, cast the first stone." He goes back to drawing in the dirt. And then he looks up and everyone has left. And he looks at the woman and he says, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "There are none, Lord." And he says, "Go and sin no more." But this morning, I want us to look at what happens immediately after that. Immediately after that, apparently Jesus goes back to teaching and the crowd gathers back around Him again. And He says there in the 12th verse, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You see, that one phrase is a phrase that if I could put into effect in my life, it would change my day-to-day living. You see, there's no way that once I walk out of the doors this morning and I completely understand what Jesus is saying when He says, "I am the light of the world," I can't walk out of here understanding that and it not change the way I live tomorrow. You see, that is more powerful words than what first meets the eyes. You see, He said, "I am." You see, I can read in the Scriptures and I can find many things that Jesus used to be. Many things that He was. I can read in John, the first chapter, in verse 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." I can also look over in Matthew, the second chapter, in verse 1, and I can see there that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. In the days of the King Herod, Jesus was born. I can see also in the second chapter of John that Jesus was called to the marriage feast so that He could perform that miracle. I can look all through John and I can see the things Jesus did while He was on the face of this earth. I can look over to John at the very end in John the 19th chapter and I can see that Jesus was crucified. I can see in the 30th verse of that, that Jesus even cried, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. You see, our Bibles tell us many things that Jesus was, that He will never be again. Jesus will never be again in the beginning. Jesus will never again be born in the city of Bethlehem. Jesus will never again walk the face of this earth. Jesus will never again have to be crucified on the cross because the Scriptures tell us that that was the last and great sacrifice. My Bible even tells me a few things that Jesus will be in the future. You see, just flip over to the 14th chapter there, a few verses that we are all familiar with. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You see, Jesus tells me, there is coming a day when I will come. He also tells me that there's coming a day that day is after He has prepared the places for me. He tells me also that I will go and I will live with the Father forever. I can also look at Matthew, and Matthew the 25th chapter and verse 31 tells me also that as Jesus will come, that He will be the judge. That He will divide those on the right and those on the left. You see, those are all things that Jesus will be. Things that He will do. You say, well, what is all this about? What is the point we're trying to make? You see, the point is simple, but it's so powerful we must not overlook it. Jesus here did not say, I was. Jesus here did not say, I will be. Jesus standing before these people said, I am the light of the world. You see, that's powerful. Because you see, I can read that this morning and it says, I am. I can read it tomorrow and it says, I am. I can read it next year and it'll say, I am. I can read it when little Colton graduates from college and it'll say, I am the light of the world. These people could read it back in Jesus' day and it said, I am. We can read it 100 years from now and it'll say, I am. Brethren, every day I wake up in the morning, is Jesus present in my life? You see, we can't say, well, I have been good for Jesus. We can't say, well, I've lived a good life for Jesus. It doesn't count. Jesus wants things in present tense. Think with me just for a moment as you look back at the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter there in verse 12, I want you to think of the present tense, and I'll emphasize these as we read them. And I want you to see how important it is that we live the life for Christ in a present tense. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, Jesus in our life should be an I am. He should be a present tense. And us following after Him should be in a present tense. We should be following Him. And only if those two things are in present tense can it be said of the latter part, and we shall have the light of life. You see, there's no time in my life when I can look at Jesus and say, yes, Jesus, I know that You are present. And Jesus, You know that I used to follow You, and I want to walk in the light now. No, you see, those ducks have to be in a row. All three of those have to be present at all times. And if at any time I think I can relate to the past or relate to the future, I've changed the meaning of what Jesus says here. It is impossible for me to say that I was once saved. Now I am not walking with Jesus, but I still want that light of life. I still want that salvation. He says here, I am the light of life. It's present. He says here that I must follow after Him. That's present. And He says here, then I will have the light of life. That's present. But what did He say about this present tense? Well, He said, I am, to tell us it's present tense. But then He said, the light. You know, light is a beautiful thing. If you don't think you love light, you live without it for a while. If you think our society, our world about us doesn't like light, you drive up the road some night and you try to look at every light you see, you'll never be able to do it. You'll be looking at street lights. You'll be looking at lights on signs. You'll be looking at little lights inside stores. You'll be looking at the little light on your stereo. Oh, we love lights. He says here that He is the light. You know, I'm sure every one of us could walk through our house in the dark. But you know what I would love to have a video of? I'd love to have a video of you walking through your house in the dark. You see, you walk a little slower. And you kind of walk even funny because you're walking humped over and you're feeling the things and you forget about that little stool down here that you stump your toe on. And you know, many times whenever we walk in darkness, we make a fool of ourselves. You see, it seems crazy to have a huge rocking chair there and just walk flat into it. But that's what happens when we walk in darkness. We make a fool of ourselves. We walk into things that finally when we realize what we walked into, we say, how? How in the world could I not see this sin coming? How in the world could I not see the terrible mess I was getting my life into? Jesus answers the question. He says, because you're of your Father in verse 44. He says, you're walking in darkness. Your eyes are closed. Brethren, we better believe Jesus when He says that He's the light. And we better believe that we can find ourselves in a terrible mess if we try to walk in darkness. He says that He is the light. He says that that is present tense. Now I want you to ask yourself this morning, do you believe it? Do you firmly believe that Jesus Christ is that light? I want to give you just a few examples of maybe whether or not you really believe it. You see, Jesus sheds light on subjects. He'll answer our problems if we turn to Him. We look at a terrible problem that's in our world today of AIDS. Now the world gives us a solution to AIDS. The world says, well, if you're going to participate in fornication, and when you participate in adultery, and when you participate in homosexuality, be safe. Be safe when you do those things. What does Jesus say? Oh, Jesus sheds a much better light on the subject. He sheds a light on the subject and He says, stay away from that sin of adultery. Stay away. He says, flee fornication. Don't even be caught up in the vile affections of homosexuality. You see, Jesus sheds light on subjects today. Too many times we've allowed ourselves to fall into the life. No, if you ask us, we'll say, yes, I believe that the Bible speaks to me today. But too often times we fall into the life of living as if it has nothing to say to me about my present problems. Oh, it does have something to say to me about my present problems. We look at a world. We look at a great nation of America that we live in. Many of us sometimes fear that this nation might someday fall. Jesus tells us how to not let it fall. We can read in Romans the first chapter, the ones that fall are the ones that forget who God is. We can look back in the Old Testament example and we can see the children of Israel before they cross over into the land of Canaan. God tells Moses to give them a talk because God knows what the nature of people, how we tend to forget God. And Moses tells them, you're about to go over into a land and God is going to help you win. And as long as you remember God, you'll always have these stately, huge houses. You'll have a feast like you cannot imagine. You'll have vineyards. You'll have orchards. You'll have children. You'll have husbands and wives. You'll have everything that you wanted in your life. And He says, but beware lest thou art filled and forget the Lord thy God who gave you all of this. They went over. It was just a matter of time. They forgot. All of those curses that Moses promised them, they received them. Seeing their children taken away from them, but yet never being able to go to them. Being captive, having your wife taken away from you, having someone else live in the big house that you had built with your own hands. Having someone else eat from the orchards and from the vineyards that you had planted. All of these terrible things came about and they were captured. They forgot their God. Today, the world will tell you the power is in a great defense. The power is in a great economical situation. The power is having a certain man in a political office. Brethren, I tell you today, Jesus tells us the power is in a nation not forgetting God. We can look about us and we can see parents that are having such a difficult time with children. And you can go back and you can see over the last 20 and 30 years how parents have just turned their children out. Let children raise themselves. They have a mind for themselves. God says that there's to be parents in authority and children listening to that authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, who are you going to believe? Who are we going to believe? You see, there's so many things in my life that Jesus can help me with every day. Every day. If I'll let that light shine upon me. If I'll turn to His book of knowledge. The final thing we'll look at about this light is the sad situation that so many fall into when we speak of salvation. So many have taken and they have let man change a few ways of salvation. The story is told and it was told to be a true story. They asked one of the gentlemen, and if I recall his name, you'd know who I was speaking of, who speaks oftentimes in the huge coliseums and on the television. And they asked him, they said, how can you, being a man of such great knowledge and being such a great preacher, how can you preach and leave out baptism? And he said, listen, I can't save 10,000 people in one night at a Coliseum if I have to baptize all of them. He says, when they listen to me on the radio, I can't save thousands over the radio if I have to baptize them. And He says, if they are writing me letters, I can't baptize them through the mail. But I can send them a letter and tell them to pray, and they can have salvation. Brethren, who do we believe? What light is going to shine upon us? The light of man or the light of God? The light of God tells us that we must hear, believe, turn away from the sins, repent, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. Who are we going to believe? He says, I am, meaning present tense. Be light, meaning He can shed light on any subject in our life. But then He says, of the world. You know, this is a topic that we oftentimes take for granted. Can you imagine, though, do you think the Gentiles took this last statement for granted back in Jesus' day? No, I'm sure that they wanted to quote those words over and over. I'm sure they wanted to just walk by the Jews and say, did you know Jesus is the light of the world? Don't you know Cornelius was so happy whenever he was able to know that he could be saved just as fast as any Jew? Don't you know that Nicodemus in the third chapter, his eyes opened wide that night as he was speaking to Jesus, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. And Nicodemus probably wants to say, no, Jesus, you mean for God so loved the Jews. He says, no, that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever will. Not just if you are of the select nation. Not just if you had good parents. Not just if you've lived a good life all of this time. Jesus said it then and He says it today. He's the light of the world. Whosoever will come unto Him. You see, I should rejoice this morning because I don't have to be a Jew to be saved. I don't have to be of any nationality, any race. I can come from what we might say is a bad home. I cannot say to Jesus, Jesus, You can't save me because I come from bad blood. Jesus, You don't understand. I have too many terrible sins in my past. Jesus says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You see, Jesus wants anyone that wants Him. That's the only requirement. Do you want Jesus as your light? We should rejoice this morning because there's no one here this morning that can say Jesus does not want them. There's no one here this morning that can say, but listen, there's a sin that none of you know about, and it is, and Jesus won't forgive that. Jesus will forgive any sin. The question is, do we want to be forgiven? You know, this is a powerful statement as we think about it in depth. I am, meaning present tense. The light, meaning He casts answers to every problem. To the world, meaning to everyone. And I close with this one reminder. I want you to think back to Matthew, the 5th chapter, to the Sermon on the Mount. After I studied in depth about this, I was real surprised to think back and to think what Jesus said to them in the 5th chapter. You know what He said to His followers? Ye are the light of the world. That's a big task. Jesus is saying to us, if you're My followers, every day you are to shed light on the world. You're to go to your neighbors that have problems and tell them what the answers are. You're to go to your own life and tell your own self what the answers are. And you're to go to anyone, to the world, to anyone. Don't discriminate against anyone that needs Jesus. You see, in Matthew, He was telling them a huge task. Today, He tells us that same huge task. But first, I have to make sure I'm obeying the first one. Am I holding Jesus as the light in my life? Secondly, if I am holding Jesus as the light in my life, am I going out and being that same light to others? This morning, Don't depend upon your past. And don't wait for tomorrow. He says, I am the light of the world. This morning, think about where you go for the solutions in your life. As I've shared with you before, I've shared with you thousands of times, the best thing you and I can ever say to ourselves is, what would Jesus do? Jesus sheds light on situations. And that's to the world. That's to anyone here this morning that wants His saving grace. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you've fallen away and you want to come back, we want to pray with you and for you. We want to forgive you, and God in heaven wants to forgive you. If you're not a child of God, allow that light to shine in your life. Don't walk around in darkness, because we tend to make some mistakes when we walk in darkness.